Well, I ask for your prayers this evening, and we spend a few minutes looking into the Word. I'm glad for each one who can be here. I've written on the board, sowing to flesh or spirit. Now, I know that that's nothing earth-shattering or new to anyone here this evening. I've heard many messages over the years, I feel sure, about sowing to the flesh and the spirit or the spirit. But it's what the Lord visited me with here these last few days for service, and I want to share it with you this evening. We all know the law of sowing and reaping. And we have in Galatians chapter 6 that law reiterated to us in verses 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 really is the one that explains and expresses the law of sowing and reaping. It says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." The laws of nature that God has set in place will not be changed. There will be some variations of things from time to time that you and I will question about. One of the things that we hear over the last several years is climate change. Climate change, climate change. My dad has a diary that was written by his grandfather in the 1930s, 1937. And he was telling me recently that in 1937, January, the month of January, he had remarked in his diary how very warm it had been and how the trees and things were starting to bud out in the month of January, and there was concern about what was going to happen later on in the year. Now, this Bible tells us that the things that have been, the things that are, have been already. There's no new thing under the sun. I choose to believe the Word of God. There are going to be cycles and changes, but there are some things that are absolute constants, and this is one of them. Whatsoever a man sows, he will reap. If you plant corn, you sow corn, and if the conditions are right, and it's able to germinate and grow, come to fruition, you reap corn. If you sow beans, and all the conditions are right, there comes a time when you reap beans. That's just the laws of nature, laws that God has established. And so it is, folks, with our own individual spiritual lives. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 8 says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." So I'd ask a question. What are you sowing? Because you will reap. There is coming a day when either the Lord returns or I have walked the last step of my journey and I am sowing every day of my life. What am I sowing? What are you sowing? You see, God offers us choice. And we only have two choices for all the issues that we face day by day. Each choice that we have, each choice that we make, necessitates another choice to be made. For example, if I make the choice to ignore the speed limit signs on the highway, the speed limit says 55, and I choose to ignore that and say I want to drive 70. You can do that. No one's going to get in the car and make you stop driving 70 miles an hour. Now, you might hear some chatter from the passengers, other occupants of the vehicle, but if you want to drive 70 miles an hour in 55, you can do that. But if you make that choice, there are other choices also that you make. You have to say, without even saying so necessarily realizing what you're saying is, "I choose to speed. So, I choose to accept the consequences of my decision, of my choice. So I top the hill and I meet a trooper. And the lights come on. And he pulls you over. And he says, I clocked you doing 70 in a 55. Well, I didn't choose to get a citation for driving 70 in a 55 for speeding, but I did choose to speed. You see, so each choice that I make has the potential in it to have other choices. Now, I have to look at the possibility of, now I'm going to pay the fine. I don't have the money to pay the fine. That's not in my budget. I should have thought about that when I said I was going to speed. I can't afford my insurance premium to go up. Well, that's another decision that I didn't think about. Each choice that we make, you see, each decision we make necessitates other choices. So I say this, I'm going to live by the Word of God. I've heard many people say, I want to live for the Lord. I want to live for God. What does it require? What does it take for me to live for the Lord? If I truly mean that, it means that there's other things, other courses that I have to follow too. I need to read His Word. I need to study His Word. I need to become familiar with what the Word of God says. Because the choice that I make to serve the Lord requires me to make other choices in my life too that follow the same course, the same pattern. You see, I'm sowing. Every day I'm sowing. I'm sowing one or the other. I'm sowing to my flesh by the choices and decisions I make. People make some awful, foolish, reckless, careless decisions without realizing the ramifications of those decisions. Not thinking of the end result. Not thinking that I'm going to drive 70 in a 55. But if I choose to drive 70 in a 55 mile per hour zone, I have the speed limit is set for a reason. Safety. It's set for safety. Is one. Because now that I'm driving 70 in a 55 mile per hour zone, my reaction time, if I don't have good reflexes, my reaction time is not going to work near the same if I'm driving 55, 60 in a 55 mile per hour zone as I'm driving 70. I don't have the numbers in front of me to be able to tell you how much more time it's going to take you to get your vehicle stopped in the event of a situation presenting an accident. But it's going to be different than if you were driving 55. If you're driving 55, you have the opportunity to make responses quicker, sooner, and they work better. You don't have as much inertia, don't have as much energy moving that direction that you have to slow down and get stopped. See, we don't think about all those kinds of things. We think about choices and decisions that we're making in life. But be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Which do you want to reap? Many a person would say, well, I want to reap life everlasting. What are you sowing? Are you sowing the components that will cause you to reap life everlasting? Or are you, as a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways? Because of the Scripture concerning the double-minded man, it says, and let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. Why? Because he does not have allegiance to God. His allegiance is divided. His allegiance is split. The truth of the matter is, he is sowing to the flesh. Because he is following what the flesh wants. He's not fully sold out to serve the Lord. See, we either live according to the flesh or the Spirit, one or the other. There's no halfway point here. There's not a middle ground. You and I can look at a situation with someone and we can't fully determine the things in their heart and know where they are, but there's one that does. There's one that knows this evening what you are sowing. Whether you are sowing to the flesh or whether you are sowing to the Spirit. He knows very clearly the mindset that you have. And I know what His desire is for us is to sow to the Spirit. All right? Now let's look at Romans chapter 8. Romans Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. See, there are consequences which accompany these options that I have. The consequences are if they're after the flesh, if I'm looking for the things of the flesh, I mind the things of the flesh. But if I am after the Spirit, if I really want the Spirit of God in my life, then I search for the things of the Spirit. You see, it requires me. If I say I'm going to live for the Lord, as I spoke about just a moment ago, then I need to find out the things and familiarize myself with the things of God. Who He is. What His person is. What He expects from me. What He has and desires from me and for me. If I search those things out by reading His Word and studying His Word, being attentive to His worship services, listening for the things that will help me to grow and prosper in my soul, then I put into practice those things and I'm sowing every day the things of the Spirit. And I have the hope, more than just a hope, I have the assurance from the Word of God of the law of sowing and reaping that if I put those components in my life, when I come to the end, whenever that may be, I'm going to reap spiritual things. What a blessing that is, folks, that God has given us that opportunity, those choices to make, one or the other. And I know that if I sow to the Spirit, I will reap the Spirit. I'll reap life everlasting. That's a law of God. It is a constant. It's just as binding as a law of nature. It's in a spiritual sense, but it's just as binding as a law of nature. You sow corn, conditions are right, you reap corn. You sow to the Spirit, and if you put the things into your life that would cause you to have spiritual existence, reading, studying, praying, communion with God, you're going to reap life everlasting. You're going to reap the things of the Spirit. That's the Word of God. It's just as sure and steadfast. It's a constant. It doesn't change. Oh, there are consequences. There is a certainty. There is a certainty that we find in Galatians 6 and 7. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The choice is yours. But whatever you sow, you will reap. That's the consequences of my choices. We either plant the seeds of flesh or spirit, one or the other, leading only two types of harvest, either corruption or everlasting life. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. Look at a few words here. I know this is nothing profound. No, it's nothing new. But folks, sometimes we do good just go over some basic fundamental things and be reminded. I want every one of us. The truth of the matter is this, folks. One of these days, I'm going to leave this world. If you are alive and remain after I'm called away from here, I'm going to be responsible as a minister of the gospel and as the pastor of this congregation for the things I have set before you. I'm going to be responsible for those things. I'm going to be responsible to the Lord for how it's been presented, the way it's been presented, how the Lord used it. It's His business. But for me to stand before the Lord and be clear in my soul, I have to put into practice these very same things and elements in my life. I have to study His Word if I'm going to live by the Spirit. If I'm going to sow to the Spirit, I have to read and study His Word. I have to be in communion with Him. I have to be true to your souls. If I've been reckless and careless with those things, God's going to look at me when I stand before Him And He's going to look at me about how I have handled those things He's put in my disposal. Whether I've been careless and reckless, or whether I have been responsible in those things He's put in my care, in my disposal. See, I have to meet the Lord just like everybody else does. We all stand before God on the merits of the things that we have done in this life, whether it's good or whether it's bad. We're going to give account. So in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, common passage, not always pretty to read, but this is what it says. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. I would encourage you to look up the definition of each of these words. I would encourage you to take the time, if you have eSword on your phone, Bible, electronic Bible, or if you have the Strong's Concordance, I would recommend to you look up those Greek words and the meanings of them, or look in the dictionary, look in Webster's dictionary and find the meanings of these words. See what they're talking about. Might be surprised. Might be surprised. It's all listed under the catalog of the works of the flesh. So he says, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now you say, well, I don't do all of these things. Okay, grant that. One, two, any. If there's any of them, that's an indication of where am I sowing? I'm sowing to the flesh. See, this is how important it is that we sow. We realize the things that we are incorporating into our lives and what we're allowing to be put out of our lives is sowing. And there's coming a day that I'm going to reap. One place in the Scripture, I think in one of the minor prophets, it speaks about, you've sown the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind. Do you know what happens when we sow a kernel of corn? Do you only reap a kernel of corn? You reap many times over that kernel of corn. And if we choose to sow to the wind, we're not going to reap a breeze. We're going to reap the whirlwind. The wind multiplied times over. We don't want to take the risk, folks, of sowing to the flesh. I've sown one grain here and one grain there to the flesh. They multiply. As they begin to mature and the time comes for reaping, folks, we reap so much more than what we sowed. It is multiplied many times over. You put one grain of corn in the ground, if it grows, if the conditions are right, and a stalk of corn comes up, and it produces maybe two ears of corn, one good full ear and another ear that's not quite so full. You count the number of kernels on the ears of corn from the one grain that you've sown. Multiply that out and see how many times over you will reap what you have sown. And the Scripture tells us very clearly, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The laws of the sowing and reaping work the same in the spiritual life as they do in nature. Help us, Lord. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, First Corinthians chapter 13, one of the verses says, it's a chapter about charity. It says, but though I give my body to be burned. And I have not charity. It profiteth me nothing. Nothing. If I give my body to be burned, and I haven't had love in my heart toward God and my fellow man, but I am ready to go to the stake, and I have not had love, it says it profits me nothing. Why? Because I have missed the mark. Rather than having love in my heart, I had something else there. What was I sowing? Hypocrisy? What was I sowing? So when it comes time for me to stand at that place where I must pay the consequence of being a Christian, and I haven't had the essence of what Christianity is in my life, what do I gain? A fire and a body that's about to burn with no eternal reward, because the Scripture says it profits me nothing. That's pretty serious business. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. In other words, what it's saying, there's no limit to how much of this you can have. There's no limit to how much of this you can sow. And certainly, how much you will reap. And the converse is also true. There's really no limit to how much vice you can have in your life to sow. Or you can say, well, certain laws prohibit me from doing certain things. Really? Really? I've read some heinous things that people have done in the history of criminal affairs. Grossly heinous acts that human beings have committed upon one another. Things that you wouldn't think that a human being could even possibly think to do to another human being. Sowing to the flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. For the fruit of the Spirit, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Folks, this is where you and I have to be. We have to crucify the flesh. We have to be willing to say no. I have to be willing to say, no, I won't do that. No, I won't go there. If I make my choice to sow to the Spirit, I have to incorporate the things in my life. Just as I said, if I choose to drive 70 to 55, there are lots of other decisions I make by doing that, that are intertwined and interconnected with it. And if I choose, if I say I'm going to live for the Lord, and I put into practice all of those things, I start making the decisions, I'm going to serve the Lord, and I start familiarizing myself with His ways and His will for me in my own life, and what He wants me to do, and what His will is for me. Too many times we get too worried about, and what shall this man do? One of the disciples asked Jesus, and what shall this be? Peter, I believe, said, and what shall this man do? Peter said, what's that to you? What is that to you? You follow me. Just follow me. If we, everyone will do that, folks, if every one of us will make the decision to sow to the Spirit and follow Christ, we'll have harmony and unity and peace and oneness. And the Lord will be here to bless every time we come together. Instead of me looking at you out of the corner of my eye, well, I wonder what he's up to. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's 6:10. I'm headed pulling in the church driveway. Where's he going? Well, I don't know where he's going. Maybe something came up that he can't be there for service tonight. I don't know all of those things, but I know who does know, God and the individual. The individual knows whether he's sowing to the flesh or sowing to the Spirit. He's made the choice and decision. God knows that. I don't always know that. I can't always tell. Sometimes there are very legitimate reasons for not being able to be in service. Sometimes there are not. God knows those things. I don't pick up my phone and call you and say, "Hey, why weren't you at church?" I don't send you a text message and say, "Hey, I missed you at church. Why weren't you there?" I may send you a message and say, "Hey, I missed you in worship service." I may send you something to try to encourage you. I may send you something to try to challenge you. I may do that. But it's not my business to pry into your private life and ask you those. You wouldn't like it if I did. Very much of that, and you'd be telling me, "Preacher, it might be time for you to mind your own business." And you'd be right. You'd be right to tell me that. Because there are certain things that even God Himself will not override your power to choose. And it's not within my jurisdiction to try to override your power to choose. You can make those choices. I make choices. We all make choices to the flesh or to the Spirit. I appreciate your time and attention this evening. God bless each one is my prayer. Let's pray for one another. Pray for me. I want to make heaven my home. Amen.